Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're making our way through the Last Supper discourse in John's Gospel, that intimate moment of time when Jesus is gathered with the apostles and he's getting closer and closer, really with every word, to his passion, to his great victory on the cross, where he brings down the kingdom of the enemy, and establishes the kingdom of God. He disarms the principalities and powers, and he makes a public show of them through his death on the cross, the power of his blood, the offering of his life to the Father in obedience. And forever, he destroys the hold of the enemy, and he establishes the kingdom of the Father. And of course, he will rise in glory, the new creation, the fountain of life. The only future of the human race beyond death is in the person of Jesus. Now, Jesus, in this section of this discourse in chapter 16, he says, and he repeated in 15, he's repeated it in 16, what's the root of the resistance in people's hearts? They don't know God the Father. They don't know me. They hate the Father. They hate me. This is Jesus' diagnosis of the human heart. Today, I'm not sure that even some leaders in the church will affirm that. What's crept into the church is this idea, almost like there was no such thing as original sin. There's this idea that basically everybody's good. And everybody's will is good and rightly directed. And everybody with a good will is going to go to heaven. There might be a few who don't have it, Hitler, Stalin, maybe a few Republicans, you know, or a few Democrats, whatever side of the divides you're on. Because people always seem to find a few people in their world that they don't think is going to make it. But the reality is Jesus is very clear. He came because the human race needs to be saved, everybody. He didn't come as a cheerleader or as a good organizer to say, hey guys, here's a set of principles. Go fix the world. Here, go do this and make all things new by your own resources. Because the problem's somewhere out there in structures, political structures, philosophical ideas, it's not in me. But the biblical worldview is very clear. The problem is in every single person. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody needs salvation that comes through Jesus alone. It doesn't come through unique ways to pray. You know, it doesn't come through yoga. It doesn't come through meditation. It doesn't come through things like that. It's not a matter of like just getting connected to the force that's out there. It's getting connected to the person who diagnoses the actual condition of my heart and offers me salvation. He offers me a new heart, and you can't get it anywhere else. Muhammad can't give it to you. Buddha can't give it to you. Spiritual disciplines don't give it to you. Philosophies don't give it to you. That's not where it comes from. Your bank account can't give it to you. It doesn't matter how you feel physically or how together you feel. It's about the real, objective, ontological fact of being born into a power that you have no capacity to completely overcome on your own. You don't. I don't. And that power is at work in us called, Paul calls it the reign of sin. And that reign of sin produces death in us, and that's eternal separation from God. That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to tweak things in the world. He came to establish the Father's kingdom, a whole new kingdom, because this world is going to pass away. St. Peter said it's all going to burn up with fire, and he's going to bring a new creation. So it's very tempting in the modern world to avoid all these challenging words and diagnoses that Jesus brings to the human condition. But friends, it's the only way to freedom. It's the only way to life. So Jesus goes on. Verse 7, chapter 16, it is to your advantage that I go, because I will send the counselor. So the apostles are in that moment of saying, wait a minute, Lord, where are you going? Aren't you going to, we believe you're the Messiah, aren't you going to establish the kingdom now and drive out the Romans and just, you know, sit on David's throne and make all things work? And Jesus said, no, I have to go. It's better. Why? Because I have to send you the counselor, which is what? It's the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son. He said, I'm not just giving you a new rule book. I'm not just giving you a political system. I'm coming to draw you into the kingdom of God, which is what? Life between the Father and the Son. I'm going to make you children of God. I'm going to give you the power to become a new creation. It's not just a political order. It is the kingdom and reign and rule of God. And it happens in human hearts, and it happens through the grace of the Holy Spirit that comes. And then he says some very powerful things here about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about how the Spirit reveals Jesus as the first mission of the Spirit. By the way, a lot of the reason so much of the preaching of the church in places in the world is so weak and it's not producing fruit is because we're not talking about what the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about. Because the very thing the Holy Spirit anoints is the message that Paul talked about. I talked about St. Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul said, I preach Jesus Christ as Lord. He doesn't preach, go be good to everybody. Go be nice to everybody. Go fix the world. Go dialogue with the world. I mean, all those things, being good, being kind, dialoguing, those are all good. But they're not the heart of the gospel. And the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ is Lord. He's God's ultimate man who bears in his person the exact antidote the world needs. We need to become a new creation. We need to be delivered from the world of flesh and the devil. We need the Holy Spirit within us. And it's not automatically within us, despite what some theologians want to say today. If people say that, don't believe them. Just ignore them. It's not true. So here's Paul in John in verse 9. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. You see that? The Holy Spirit is not coming just as a coach to mobilize everybody to get along. The Holy Spirit, that's part of the Holy Spirit's end game, but the end game can only be produced by a work of God in us of helping us get free from the power of sin, to be converted, to repent and have our sins forgiven, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And at this unity, this peace, only the kingdom of God, only Christ can establish it. And where some in the church have gone is to say, well, actually, he's kind of, you know, if you talk too much about him, he divides. And so let's sort of put him on the back burner. Because really all he cares about is the values that he communicated with us. No, the Holy Spirit, and this is why much of the preaching isn't anointed, that it doesn't lead to conversion, and it doesn't manifest itself at times in signs and wonders. There's very few signs and wonders worked, you know, in the preaching of even priests and bishops in the church. He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they don't believe in me. And here's for John, this is the ultimate sin, to not believe in the Son. To not believe in the coming of the Son, the incarnation. Of course, the Antichrist himself and the Antichrist's spirit present in the world is always to deny that Jesus came in the flesh, that he's the incarnate Son of God, the only Savior of the world. So look, this is the mission of the Holy Spirit. This is what the mission has come to, the Spirit has come to do, to convict people, to expose the fundamental sin. Father Francis Martin, one of the great biblical scholars I ever knew, he went home to the Lord. He said, this is the fundamental sin in John's gospel, that people refuse to repent and believe in the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit will convict them of sin and of righteousness because Jesus said, I go to the Father, that Jesus is alone the righteous one. He's the one who has set right the relationship between the human race and God the Father. He's the firstborn Son who's brought us now through his passion, death, and resurrection into right relationship with God. He's the one who does it. Finally, judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. On the cross, Jesus judged the world. Sin was judged on the cross, and the devil himself and his strategies were exposed, made a public show of, and they were judged on the cross. He will be condemned forever. Jesus won his victory over him. So this is the mission of the Holy Spirit. The question is, are we cooperating with it? And this is why we can't avoid talking about sin. Now, people are so worried about it, so it's such a turnoff for people because the church always talks about sin. Honestly, I don't see it that way. I don't hear it. I don't hear the church talking about sin all the time. I don't think that's true. The church also gets cornered into being quiet about sexual sins today, which so dominate. We're in this culture, friends, where it's just, you know, soaked in pornography and sexual perversions of every kind you can think of. And much of it is being justified now and being called a virtue. And then people in the world or even some voices in the church accuse the church of being obsessed with sex. The world is totally obsessed with sex. It never stops talking about it. Commercials, movies, television, everybody's talking about it in one way or another. And the church has to answer some of that. But the church has a beautiful, amazing revelation from God about the beauty of sex. And so the world tells us we're talking about it too much, and some in the church are saying we need to be quiet about it because it's such a turnoff for people, and it looks like that's all we care about and we're obsessed by. We are just too easily duped and deceived by the world. Now's the time. Thank God for the theology of the body, what St. John Paul II taught, and the beautiful teaching that's there in the church and the catechism. We have an antidote to the sickness, to the sexual sickness that's in the culture around the world today. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us of these things, to help bring us into the place of righteousness. If we cling to these things, if we cling to our sin, we die in our sin, we'll be judged. Jesus' sin was judged on the cross. And if we insist on clinging to the rightness of our sin, that things that are inconsistent with the Lord, we will come under that condemnation. The Lord wants us, friends, to be free in the Holy Spirit, to be bearing fruit in the Holy Spirit, fruit that will last. And in the midst of all this chaos, he wants us to have his heart. I think often of, St. Francis of Assisi. In his attitude, you know, he said, at one point he said, our friends are all those in the world. He's talking about what a heart can really be filled with, even in the midst of hostility and rejection. He said, our friends are all those who unjustly inflict on us tribulations and anguish, shame and injury, sorrows and torments, martyrdom and death. We must have great love for them, since from what they inflict upon us, we have life eternal. Now there's the mind of a saint. A mind of a true disciple. He knew that, he said, these things happen to us and they happen to our Lord. We understand it, but the people who inflict this upon us are not our enemies. They're my friends. Because that tribulation that Jesus said would come my way, that rejection, even martyrdom and death that Jesus said would come to some, is a great gift. And just like Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, so it is today. Most of us have never really experienced this kind of rejection, but it's happened. It's happened many times in the 20th century, 21st century, and it's intensifying, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you and me. And Jesus wants us to have the heart of Christ manifested in the saints like Francis. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.